God's grace in Jesus Christ fill you from Jesus Christ, the coming one. Amen. Well, this is now the second week in Advent, and we're continuing our sermon series today on John the Baptist and questions related to him and to us. And last week we looked at, do you have that same sense of urgency about our Lord's coming as did John? And today I'd like to look with you at another question, namely, do you have that same clear sense of identity about yourself as did John, about who you are before Jesus Christ? For John certainly seemed to have a clear sense of his identity, didn't he? And see what strength and power and zeal and purpose that gave him in his life. He stood up to Pharisees and to Levites, even to Herod the Tetrarch, and said, "Thus says the Lord." How could he do that? Because he knew who he was and inspired by the Holy Spirit. That gave him power. And today I'd like to ask you, do you have that same clear sense of your own identity before Jesus Christ, before God in him, the sense of who you are, or have you forgotten, or perhaps never even really known who you are, who God has declared you to be in Jesus Christ? Well, let's take a look at this today together and see what God says to us about our identity, about who you are in Jesus Christ, what he's made you to be for our strength in the faith. What can we say about that? Well, first of all, we can say this. John the Baptist certainly seemed to have a clear sense of his identity, didn't he? Would you say so? Let's read that in Scripture. Here we turn back to John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" Note, that's identity. John confessed, he didn't deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." They asked him then, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said to him then, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the one voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Does that sound to you like John the Baptist had a pretty clear sense of who he was? Are you this? No. Are you this? No. Are you this? No. Are you this? No. I am this. I am the voice of one crying. So John had a clear sense of his identity in Christ, or before Christ. Let's ask this, though. Was he right? You know, some people can think they have a sense of their identity, but they're wrong. Well, was John right? For the answer to that, all we got to do is check out Luke chapter 7. Here we see, when the messengers of John had gone, he began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to behold?" So Jesus is talking about John's identity, right? Amen? "A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee.'" So what did Jesus say about John? Jesus said he was right. Right? John knew who he was. He is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40. And in fact, was that all John was? A voice crying in the wilderness? That was a great thing, but also he's another thing here, as we see in John chapter 3. John the Baptist says, "You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore this joy of mine is now full. He must increase, but I must decrease." So here's your quiz, friends. According to that passage, what else was John the Baptist? The friend of the bridegroom. Very good. You guys are excellent. You're on the mark. A voice of one crying in the wilderness. And he is the friend of the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus Christ. And what does this mean? It means that John knew he was not to be the center of attention, the famous one or the star of his day. He was, if you will, the best man in a great wedding between Christ and his bride, the church. For Christ came to marry his people, right? But the bride had to get ready. She had stains, she had sins. And therefore, John goes out to make smooth the wedding and the coming together of the two by saying, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Lo, he comes, the bridegroom." And so John was the friend of the bridegroom. I have a best man, you've met him, Ben from England. Remember meeting him? Very charming guy, British accent, sort of suave, very nice, good Christian guy. And in fact, he could have stolen the show at my wedding. He was good looking, and my little niece had a crush on him, as I think some of the other young ladies did, perhaps even some older ones. I've noticed you guys when Ben comes to visit. Some of you have said, "Can't wait till he comes again." He is very suave and charming and British and all that sort of stuff, and good-looking guy. And he could have stolen the show, but he didn't. He was my friend. He was the friend of the bridegroom. He knew who he was. In fact, the day that Beth and I got married, guess what? I wanted to go out to the beach in the morning to pray at sunrise in Cape Cod at the Outer Beach, and he went out with me. I went off to a little distance, prayed for a while to the Lord, and I came back and found Ben had not been idle. On the beach there, he'd drawn this enormous cross, like 30 feet by 20 feet, and wrote, "Greg and Breath, united in Christ." That was so encouraging to me. And then I went back, and we were at our hotel room, and I took my shower, and when I got out, he had all my clothes laid on the bed. I was like, I got my own British butler here. And then on our way to church, and we're driving in the car together, he was reading to me words of encouragement from the Bible, words like, "It's better to live on the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman." And then, that was a joke, but he did do that. And then when we were, the night of our rehearsal dinner, Beth was actually nervous and a little just overcome with the whole thing. And Ben encouraged her and comforted her. See, he was the friend of the bridegroom. He knew his place. He didn't steal the show, but he was there to help the wedding. And that was what John the Baptist was. He was there as the friend of the bridegroom to help the Christ, the husband, come together with his bride. And because he knew who he was, that gave him a great clarity, a power, a zeal, a love. And he bore much fruit. And so John was even more things than he knew, for he didn't even know he was Elijah. He knew he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He knew he was the friend of the bridegroom. But when he said, "Are you Elijah?" They said, "Elijah." He said, "I'm not." But you know what Jesus said of him? In Matthew 11, "All the prophets prophesied until John, and if you're willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come." And so I ask you, do you think God might be telling us by this that we ought to know who we are in Christ, and that, guess what, you might even be more than you know you are, just like John was even more than he knew he was? Well, let's take a look then. How did this clear sense of identity for John help him? And how would it help you? Well, look at John. It made him bold in the face of danger. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance." Now, guess what? He's speaking to Levites, priests, Pharisees, and even to the king, to Herod the Tetrarch, in these ways. His sense of identity made him bold. Of course, the Holy Spirit and God sending him as well made him passionate. It says in Luke 3, "So with many other encouragements, he preached good news to the people." He knew who he was, therefore he was encouraging people. He had a patient endurance. Remember, he got shut up in prison? I imagine he was saying what he said in John 3, "Jesus must increase, but I must decrease." That gave him a humility. Do you think your identity could give you that? And he had a singular aim. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. It says in John 1, and Jesus said, John did bear witness to the truth. He was a burning and shining lamp. So John had a powerful life, not only because God sent him, not only because the Holy Spirit was inspiring him, but he knew who he was. And I want to ask you right now, do you know who you are in Jesus Christ, what God has made you to be? Well, how might a clear sense of our identity in Jesus Christ help us? You know what? It even helps in your ordinary life if you have an accurate understanding of who you are. Let me share a story. When I was in 1996, I was sailing on the Spirit of Massachusetts, which is a two-masted sailing ship, 125 feet, down in the Caribbean. And my first day out, new crew on board. We had a high school cadets, and we were sailing out. I don't know, first time at sea, maybe 80 miles or so, and the captain decided to have a shakedown cruise, which means that you set everything that you have in heavy weather and see what breaks, and then you fix it. But guess what? This is big gear, friends. That's breaking, and we set it. I set everything, and within a few minutes, the line that goes up to the highest forward sail, the fore topsail, parts, snap, bang, boom, snap back, could have killed somebody. But we just took the sail down and went on. Another couple of seconds later, boom, there goes the highest sail in the foremast, called the fore topsail. That line parts and snaps, so we send two people up to furl that. And then the main topsail, the one on top of the mainsail, that one starts to go. And so we send people up to furl that one. All the while, the boat's plunging under each successive wave. So as we've got feet of water on the leeward side of the deck, the downhill side of the deck. And guess what? I'll admit it, I started to get afraid. I thought, this is my first day of 4 months. Am I going to come out of here with four limbs? I started to get a grip of fear on me. I still did my job, but you know what? That tainted me for the next couple of weeks. I was uneasy, uncomfortable. Ill at ease because I was afraid of everything, in a sense. Until one night we had another heavy weather squall, and I came up on deck. All hands were come up to take sail. And I put on my foul weather gear, and I remember being kind of a little nervous, and I put on my belt with my knife and my marlin spike. And just at that moment, as I'm looking up into the kind of howling wind and darkness at the top of the ladder, God sort of spoke to me in a vision, not like I saw it, but internally. He reminded me who I was. He said, you're a knight of God. You're a warrior. You're a man ready for action. You're a servant of the king. And at that point, all of a sudden, I felt like a light inside me. I changed, and I knelt down at the foot of that ladder like a knight would kneel to his king. And I sprang up onto the deck, a man ready for action, courageous. And I went out and did my job, and I loved it. You know what? The outer circumstances didn't change. I had the sea, the same wind, the same ship, but something inside me had changed. God had reminded me who he has made me to be in Jesus Christ. It's the same identity you have, by the way. And that changes everything. And for the next 1,500 nautical miles up to Massachusetts, it was a different trip entirely. And my point is, it's the same thing in the Christian life, that our sense of identity in Christ is key. Can I get an amen on that? Our outward circumstances may not change. You got the same wind, the sea, and the ship. But they can either conquer you or you can conquer them. And conquering them has much to do wrapped up with your own sense of your identity in Jesus. For a Christian who doesn't know who he is, let me tell you, may be left powerless, cringing in fear, and wanting to go back when God says go forward. But a Christian who knows who he is, or she is, in Jesus Christ, when God is even giving them a command to go forward, says, let's go, and let me lead the charge, for I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Which one are you? Going backwards or going forwards with the Lord? It's about your identity, a large part of it. And therefore, I ask you, who are you in Jesus Christ? Let's talk about your and my identity before the Lord and have you grasp it. Well, let's start out. God says here in Ephesians 2, first of all, you got to remember who you were before you knew me. What was your identity then? In Ephesians 2, we read, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Anybody want that identity? Dead, follower of evil, son of disobedience, child of wrath, follower of the prince of darkness. But you know what? God says you've got to own that identity first before you can come and I can change you in Christ to a new identity. In other words, you got to admit that you're a sinner, that you're in need of a savior. And once you admit that you are dead and your sins, you can come to Christ and confess those sins, be saved, be washed, be forgiven, be made a new creature, and then God says, I got a new identity for you. Let's take a look at that new identity. Have you believed in Christ? Say amen. Amen. Have you been baptized? Say yes. then here's your new identity. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together by Christ. By grace you've been saved. So say this, I am alive. How's that feel? To say, I'm alive. I'm alive through Christ and his mercy. And God raised us up with him and made us sit with Christ in the heavenly places. Say, I'm raised up. I am sitting with Christ in the heavenly places. And by grace you've been saved through faith. And this isn't your own doing, it's the gift of God. Jesus came to give you a new identity, friends. Right? He took us from being dead. You know, apart from Christ, your identity is in the toilet and you're destined for hell. In Christ, when he died for you, rose again for you, and you believe on him, justified by faith, you can say, I'm washed. I am. Notice, I am washed. I am forgiven. I am loved. I am justified. I am destined for heaven. All these great things Jesus has done for you and for me. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5? Anybody know 2 Corinthians 5, 17? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So are you new? I want you to own that right now. Are you new in Jesus? Has God declared it so? Peter says, you're a chosen race that I'm looking at on here. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's own people. John the Baptist knew who he was. Do you know who you are? Once you were no people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Say, I am one who has received mercy. Whew, doesn't that feel good to say it, speak out your new identity in Christ? But you know what our problem is? We need to lay hold of it. We don't want to forget it. It's so often that we can know it and then forget it and not lay hold of it or grasp it. Perhaps sometimes we might not even know it. And that's dangerous. That's bad for us. Remember the story of the elephant and the peg I once told you many years ago? Well, once there was a little elephant who lived in a circus. And to restrain the elephant, they put a rope around his foot and tied the rope over to a little peg. And that little elephant pulled and pulled and pulled and couldn't free himself. He came to learn that he was bound to that rope and that peg, and he couldn't beat it. Well, over the course of time, he began to grow. And he grew and grew and grew. And pretty soon he was tremendous, massive, powerful. But all the trainers ever had to do to restrain the elephant was just tie that little rope to that little peg, and he would stay where he was. For he was still operating, friends, under his old identity. He hadn't shifted to who he now really was, and so he was bound by it. He was captive to it. He was a prisoner. And I'll tell you, so it is with many of us. Guess what? The Christian life is mostly about us catching up with reality. God has declared who you are in Christ, but we have not yet shifted. We're still operating under our old identity. And then the devil comes along, and he's the great identity thief. What's he want to do? He doesn't want you to know who you really are in Jesus Christ. He wants to steal that away from your thoughts and away from your heart so he can keep you powerless because he knows if you but know who you really are, you're going to trample him underfoot. The devil always wants to remind you of who you once were, and he wants to keep you from remembering who you now are. I want to ask, where are you today? Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ? Or has the devil been stealing your identity? And the funny thing is the elephant was free. He could be free at any time from all kinds of things that bound him. He could pull out that peg like a toothpick. He could break that rope like warm butter if he would but believe and know who he was. Now, just a reality check here. I'm not your positive affirmations New Age guru sitting up here telling you to give yourself positive affirmations. I don't believe in that stuff. What I do believe is declaring the word of God, what he has said about you, to yourself and speaking it out loud and say, if God has declared it so, so it stands, so I am, because he said so. And that can change our lives. God has given us a new identity in Christ. We just need to catch up with that reality believe it, hold it fast, and I'll bet you what, we're going to be bolder than John the Baptist was. Because John the Baptist knew who he was in the days before Christ. We know who we are in the days after he died on that cross and rose from the dead. And we have the Holy Spirit inside us. So we're going to be even better than that. So again, who are you in Jesus Christ? What does God say to you, declared in his word? And will you confess it and hold it fast? Already seen, you're a new creature, alive. You're saved. What else? Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What can you say from that verse? Say, I am justified. I am forgiven. You can say, I am at peace with God. The warfare is over. We are now friends, for we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. How about this one? Ephesians 2, for we are, notice, we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Say, I am God's workmanship. I'm God's masterpiece. Does that sound too proud to say? Well, God told you, you're his work. What are you going to call his work? A dung heap? He works masterpieces. That's what he has declared you to be. How about this one? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What can you say about yourself based on that? Say, I am loved. How many people wrestle with feeling that they're not loved in life? God has told us right here, I love you. And you don't even believe it a lot of times. I wrestle with that. Does God really love me? God says, I have loved you. Declare what I say. It stands. And we can lay hold on that. That's going to give us joy. How about this one? He's destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ. Can you say, I'm destined, I'm a citizen of a better and a heavenly country. God's not destined me for wrath, but to obtain salvation. What's that going to do? How do you feel when you say that? Say, I'm destined. How do you feel? Really? Is that how you feel? I'm destined for heaven. My goodness, friends, we're going to be rejoicing forever. I'm with you always, Jesus says, to the close of the age. Say, I am not alone. Say, I will never be alone, because he's with us always, and he's never going to forsake us. Is that your new identity? You betcha it is, but we got to catch up to that. Don't you know that you're God's temple? God's Spirit's dwelling in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God's going to destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and that temple, Paul says, you are. Say, I am the temple. God dwells inside of you. In other words, you're protected. Anybody's going to mess with you, they're messing with God. For you're the apple of his eye. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. You're not of the night or of darkness, says Paul. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let it shine. Let it shine. You are, take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Christ. Say, I'm a soldier. When I was on the Spirit of Massachusetts and I put that sword on, no, that knife on and that marlin spike, God said, you're a soldier. Get up there, man, and be courageous. And it changed me. I'll tell you the truth. But no, we're more than soldiers, God says. And all these things, we're more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Neither death can stop you, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, anything else. In all creation, we'll be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How does this make you feel in the sermon? You know, when you actually grasp your identity, that's going to lift up your hearts. And you're going to be a new people because that's who you really are. In fact, you're even heirs of all things. Anything you can even imagine belongs to you. For if God didn't spare his own son but gave him up for us, will he not also give us all things with him? We're called in the Bible co-heirs with Jesus of everything. The meek shall inherit the earth, a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, as Peter says. And so you have such great things. And guess what? All of these things have been done for us in Jesus Christ and in no one else. Apart from him, your identity's in the toilet and you're destined for hell. In him, you have been exalted to the right hand of God in glory as royal kings and servants and full of light and conquerors and put the sword in your hand. And God says, go, because you're mine. Know who you are. Let's go forward together and in who I've made you to be in Jesus Christ. And so we can say with Paul, I am therefore of good courage. I am always of good courage, for I'm alive in him. And finally, friends, I want you to know, once again, our identity, who you are, is wrapped up in this one, in Jesus Christ, and in his identity. Just like when a bride marries her husband, she takes on his name, his identity, his bank account, though she was penniless, poor, and had a poor name. You have been given all things in Jesus. Jesus said to Moses, I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. He is the great I am. And who is our Lord Jesus? He said to Abram, fear not, Abram. I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. Even if you forget your identity sometimes, friends, God's not going to forget who he is. He's going to be faithful to you. He's your Savior, the Redeemer, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and who believes in me shall never thirst. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I'm the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved, and he'll go in and out and find pasture. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall never die. And fear not, I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Death shall not hold you. I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. And our identity is wrapped up in Jesus. Therefore, Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles, unfit to be called one. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And so can we all say. And his grace toward us is not in vain. Paul says, though on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God which is with me. And so conclude with this word, therefore, if John the Baptist was strong on account of his identity, because he knew who he was, the friend of the bridegroom, how much stronger we who are the bride. In Jesus' name, amen.